you want a vision of the future, Winston, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever.
They will run you dizzy. They will pile falsehood on top of falsehood until you can't tell a lie from the truth and you won't even want to. That's how the powerful keep their power. Don't you read the papers?
The world is a college of corporations, inexorably determined by the immutable bylaws of business. The world is a business, Mr. Beale.
It has been since man crawled out of the slime.
Welcome back to another episode of Our Interesting Times. It is my pleasure to have Mike King on the show. Mike is a researcher, revisionist historian, an author of many books, debunking some of the myths and the official narratives, say, of primarily the last century, the 20th century, but maybe going a little further back. Mike's channel website is realhistorychan.com. It's a real history channel. Where the truth comes alive. Mike, how are you doing?
Good, Tim. Good to be with you. Thank you.
So, anything else you want to add there? Is that good, or did I characterize you fairly enough?
That's fine. I mean, you could mention that all my books were banned by Amazon, but, there's...
Well, yeah.
That's good enough. No need to do the intro over. I guess we could touch upon that.
So banned by Amazon. Banned by all the right people. Okay. Tonight we've had obviously this is the first time you've been on the show, but I wanted to talk to you, maybe get your take on this recent election we had. I think. We had one in New Jersey, and of course, the one in Virginia got most of the attention because of the 13-point shift away from the Democrats, which gave the governor's mansion back to the Republicans. First time, I believe, in eight years, yeah, if I recall. This guy, Glenn Youngkin, a political neophyte, defeated Terry McAuliffe, the bag man, corrupticon for the Clintons. And some people are characterizing as sort of a white backlash. I think there's some truth to that. It's sort of a general backlash against some of all the craziness of the COVID stuff, some of the, hating whitey, Black Lives Matter, critical race theory stuff, and also the tranny issue, too, the transgender issue, and some of the madness in schools. I don't know how closely you followed, this rebellion in Loudoun County and also in neighboring Fairfax County. People have characterized as a white backlash because of the turnout. I think there's a huge white turnout for this this election cycle, and almost two-thirds of it went for Youngkin. So I'll let you take it from there.
Okay. Oh, you want to pick up on that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's definitely a backlash against this far leftward push. But I also think everything is being controlled and engineered by the factions behind Trump, who ultimately are going to pave the way for his return. And, what I mean by that is they are, I do believe that they are in control. We see Trump getting stronger by the day. I mean, it's been a year since he supposedly lost the election, and nearly a year since he's been out of office. And yet the media attacks continue to intensify against Trump. They're afraid of something. I mean, he's in the news every day. The attacks do not stop. It's like as if he never left. And I do believe that he never really did leave, and that Trump and the forces behind him are slowly but surely dismantling the Democrat Party. And that's the bigger story here. This is much more than the historical backlashes that we always see when the Democrats get into power and they go far left, and then there's a pushback, okay? You saw this against FDR in 1938. The Republicans picked up 80 seats in the House. This happened when Clinton was president, and he pushed too hard in his first 2 years. And he had the 94 route, and the Republicans swept the House and the Senate and state legislatures, et cetera. You saw this again in 2008. There was a backlash against Obama. But this is different. Because in all of those other cases, when the Republicans came back to power, it was the same cast of deep state establishment rhinos. So they really never changed anything, and they never rolled back any of the leftward advances. It was just hold the line, pretend that we're the opposition, and then eventually the left makes its next move. Okay. But now what has happened quietly, and I've been tracking this and writing about this for nearly 4 years now, slowly but surely, Trump has been taking over the Republican Party, and he has purged it, cleansed it of scores of these rhino phonies, and this is his party now. And anyone who's not on board is going to be primaried out. There's already 80 Republicans have turned over in the House. It's astonishing. Remember Paul Ryan? I mean, he was only like 40-something years old, and he just resigned. He was the Speaker of the House. He was gone. Jeff Flake, Bob Corker, so many. So this time is going to be different because this is the Trump party. It's no longer the Bush-Cheney party. So when the Democrat Party is dismantled, and hopefully once and for all, what's going to replace it is something we've not had in 100 years, something really new, an America First, true conservative fighting political party. And that's what's going on in this country. And here in New Jersey, my home state, and this is really astonishing, it was a very close election, and the Republican candidate has not conceded yet.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, whenever there's a tight race and it's late at night and it hasn't been decided, you could always bet that overnight, you know, the precincts from the inner cities were going to find votes. This has happened time and time again across the country, many times here in New Jersey. I know it well. And it happened this time. And every time it happens, the Republican candidate always is like quick to concede and give a conciliatory speech and congratulate my distinguished opponent. But not this time. And it's been more than a week, 8 days, and Jack Citarelli has not conceded. And this is so he's giving courage to the Republican cowards, and he's cleaning out the establishment Republicans. So it's a whole new dynamic that's in play, and I really believe this is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And you know, Trump and his forces will in time be unstoppable. And this goes hand in hand with the indictments now that are being handed down by John Durham. And that's another front this war is being waged on. And eventually, I do believe that's going to lead up to Hillary Clinton. And, you know, that's when hell breaks loose, you know. But it has to be done gradual, and it has to be done in a controlled fashion, and that's what we're seeing, a controlled demolition of the establishment, and that's both parties.
Well, what do you make of sort of of the Biden administration? They seem to have overstepped so far, obviously, with the whole vaccine mandate, something he promised not to impose. He's been, you know, slapped down by the courts. Then he goes and tells companies to implement it anyway. The what's going on with the U.S. economy, sort of with inflation and running up with the debt, and still some of the with the COVID restrictions keeping production down. It almost seems like that they have sort of a Clara Piven plan to destroy the U.S. economy in the meantime, bring it all down.
Well, that is what appears to be, but again, I do believe the Patriots are under control, and so they've got a hold of this thing, and they're guiding it or going along with it, because all of this has to happen. There has to be a big scare for the American people. There has to be an economic shock. The inflation has to happen. The vaccine mandates have to happen. And they're letting it happen, but it's ultimately going to be redirected towards the good, the benefit of good. Because it's all producing a backlash. And it just seems like on every front, when you look at these issues, it's always the establishment that's taking a hit, okay? And the forces behind Trump that are benefiting from that, okay? The inflation is going to be blamed on Biden and the Democrats. The vaccine mandates, which they pushed too hard on now, are alienating people, including Democrats. So, I mean, everything is working in that direction, and it has to be that way because you're dealing with a mass public that is so brainwashed, okay, that they have to see the chaos and they have to experience some of the hardship. Unfortunately, that's the only way people can report about to change. And I'm not saying that the forces behind Trump, I call them the white hats, that they're hurting us deliberately for a higher noble purpose. What I'm saying is they're allowing what the deep state and the globalists, their plans, they're allowing them to go forward with them so they can redirect them towards the good. Everything is backfiring. Okay. Now, people always say to me, including some of my readers, they say, "Oh, Mike, why is Trump out there peddling the vaccine? I mean, he's betrayed us, et cetera, et cetera." Well, think about it. First of all, who among our crowd of people who are awake or semi-awake is actually going to run out there and get a shot just because Trump said so? You know what I mean? I mean, nobody. So don't worry about it. They'll get the shot. Trump's been adamant that it's not going to be mandatory. So he's kind of baited them into his trap. And he says, "Oh, this vaccine's great. I developed it, blah, blah." And this is what they want. They want them to push and push, and it's creating a backlash internationally. These vaccine mandates are a political blessing because it's going to blow up in their face. And it really is slowly but surely, more and more people are getting fed up with being threatened with their job losses. And these are people who aren't even necessarily political, you know, or anti-vaccine or anything. It's just the idea, you know what, this is just a cold. Don't tell me I got to get a vaccine or I'm going to be fired. Okay. It's pissing off a lot of people.
What do you make for like,
That is why. Go
the corruption is
ahead.
so in your face, not just with Hunter Biden and his art gallery or his watercolor paintings being sold for $400,000 a pop by secret buyers, you know, of course the whole laptop issue, but there's also with the FDA itself and its approval of the of giving vaccines to children, I think to 5 to 11 year olds, and it turns out everyone on the panel had some tie to Pfizer, some connection, and you're thinking this is just outrageous. The whole system is losing its legitimacy. And maybe that's one of the benefits of it. It's exposing sort of the corruption of the system to so many people that it can no longer be denied. The system is losing, you know, sort of the you could say the mandate of heaven, if you will, by go going so far.
Slowly but surely, every day more and more. And Biden now is down to 38% approval. He's a national joke. And it's just going to continue. And it's going to be a harsh winter. Oil prices are through the roof. So it's going to be a drip, drip destruction.
And they're considering shutting down
And he's
another
going to.
pipeline or something?
Well, yeah, he wants to shut down pipeline, and he's just doing more and more. And I believe he's under, I believe he's been placed under control and being told what to do by the White Hats.
Yeah, I mean,
They have this
obviously,
facility.
it's probably Susan Rice and company that are taking the orders, implementing
Yeah.
them. And Biden is, he's sinking into dementia. He was during the campaign. And of course, you don't get better. And the more the public sees of him, the more obvious it becomes that he's
Yeah.
just not well, and he doesn't have his wits about him, and he's being manipulated.
So, and now there's the other things that are in fact in play now is soon the civil trial of regarding Epstein's Island and Ghislaine Maxwell. That's coming up. You have the Durham indictments. That's coming up. And all of this prepares the public. The more disenchanted they are, that's when I believe you're going to start seeing people arrested, and real horrible scandals are going to be introduced to the American public. Now, in February, Truth Social is going to be rolling out. That's Trump's media giant, and it's going to be huge. It's going to be like a YouTube, Google, Amazon all in one. It's going to be a media giant. So they're already attacking that, but they're going to push that hard because a big element of this is it will be necessary to have a platform that's uncensored to counterattack the national news media, which is also losing a lot of credibility because as this Russia hoax, this is just one of the first dominoes. As this Russia hoax unravels now, it's going to become apparent that prominent media institutions were involved in it. And I wouldn't be surprised to see some journalists end up in jail by the time this is all said and done. So all these things take time, and it's just going to build on it, build and build, and create such a momentum that in next year's congressional election, you're going to have not just Republican supermajorities in that Congress and Senate, but they're going to be Trump Republicans. And that's when stuff can really get done.
Yeah, it's a question. If they were to make major gains and indeed get a super majority or large majority, will they do anything, or will it be squandered? To what extent? To what extent do you think the electoral politics, at least at the national level, can deal with this? I mean, we have the whole thing, the Davos set, and the whole Great Reset. There's obviously a transnational cabal that had so much control of 190 countries that they could shut down the global economy. To what extent is the Congress, electoral politics, at least at the national level, able to deal with some of these issues when you're dealing with a transnational cabal?
Well, the new crop won't be controlled by these people. The Republican Party has already been, for the most part, recaptured from the globalists. Okay, you look at the Cheneys. Okay, I mean Liz Cheney was stripped of her position, and eventually she's going to be voted out in her own district in Wyoming. And Trump just humiliates these people on a daily basis. I mean, you have Colin Powell, who just died, and Trump is bad mouthing him. He gets away with it. He don't care because the base of the Republican Party has woken up to these people, to these Bushes and these Cheneys and the Colin Powells and the Romneys and the Paul Ryans and the McCains. That crowd is not ever coming back into power. They're just not. So this time will be different. But these things take a look. They take a little time, but. Everything has been worked out according to plan, including the so-called loss of the election. We now see in retrospect, I do believe that had to happen. Because think about it, if Trump is still president now, and you got Durham coming out indicting all these Democrats, how is that going to be spun? Well, Trump the dictator, he's using his political power, he's going to arrest Hillary. It wouldn't have worked. Now he's out of the picture. So whatever Durham does, whoever he arrests, that's under the Biden Justice Department now. So that's a beautiful thing. Then you have the voter fraud, which I also believe is going to come out in due time. Again, had Trump won the election, what could you have done about the voter fraud? Because then it's like, well, he won. Why are they pursuing voter fraud?
Mm-hmm.
So he had to lose. So all these things had to happen. And I believe that, you know, they're engineered. And I've been, tracking this for a number of years and following it. It seems like a little complex, but once you see, you know, what's going on beneath all the smoke, you clearly see the pattern here. So I think we're in a, I'll say it this way. We're in a much better position in fighting these globalists at a new world order now than we've probably ever been.
Is that because they're so exposed? That's because they exposed themselves.
Well, they're thoroughly exposed, and they've lost control of the Republican Party, and their Democrat Party is being dismantled slowly. You know, it's like a chess game where one pawn at a time is being removed from the board, and you gradually sense that your adversary is superior and he's gaining power, and it's you know, the game's not over yet, but you know, he just keeps getting a pawn here, a bishop here. And you're just getting weaker and weaker.
Is this why they're trying to flood the country with immigrants?
Well, they've always wanted to do that, and you know, make good little obedient Democrats out of them. You know,
look like Virginia, which is has experienced a dramatic demographic shift in the past 40 years. But again, because of some of the insane politics of the Democrats, it got out this white vote, and it showed that the Republicans can actually win, turn a blue state red by appealing to so-called white interests, which I just figured just normal, healthy interests. They call them white, I guess. But
you
look at the turnout, he got almost 70% of white males and almost 60% of white females. And if you know anything about what Virginia turned into in the recent years, that's quite a turnaround. It, you know, you get these suburban moms.
Yeah, that's good. And that's definitely an important strategy. But I will also point out that the Democrats have been losing a lot of support amongst their pet constituencies as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, this vaccine mandate isn't going over too well with black folk. So, you know, they're beginning to turn, and that whole race card is losing its effectiveness too. That's all part of it as well. And, you know, if the truth about what Hillary Clinton and her criminal gang were doing to all those black children down in Haiti, when that comes out, I don't think the Democrats will have that monopoly on the black vote anymore. I do believe that Hillary Clinton is connected to Ghislaine Maxwell and Epstein and that foundation, that they're big into human trafficking,
mm-hmm.
which includes the kidnapping of children from poor countries. And then they do whatever with them. They sell them for sex, for pedophilia. They can harvest their organs. And I do believe, and I have good reasons to believe that Hillary Clinton was hip deep and involved in that. And the public is nowhere near ready to accept that. But again, it's a step at a time. Let's start with indicting this witch for orchestrating the Russia hoax. Let's begin with that. And then take it from there, step at a time.
What do you make of Donald Trump's statement recently about Congress, how it used to be controlled by the Israelis and no longer is, or something?
Oh, yeah. I actually did an article on that at the Real History Channel. realhistorychan.com. By the way, your readers should go there and at the very least sign up. I give away a free report called How to Respond to an Anti-Conspiracy Theorist. It's at the footer of every page. It's an excellent report. It gives all the responses to these people who say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. And it also gets you on the free mailing list, realhistorychan.com. But I did a recent piece on those comments that Trump made. And there were amazing comments, and it just shows, again, the amount of power that he's acquiring, because no one could say that in the past without being destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And he came right out and said it on a radio show, and this is a Jewish radio host, no less, And he said, you know, years ago, Israel literally owned the Congress. You know that. And he said it several times. He said owned. And then he threw out a little line about, yeah, they owned it. Now they don't. But they controlled everything. And rightfully so, he said. And some people have picked up on that. Oh, what does he mean rightfully so? But that's just part of the cover. You understand? It's like saying somebody's a dirty so-and-so, but I love him anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you're not supposed to admit that. Yeah, you're not supposed to say those things. Yeah.
Right, right. But he said right out, he says they owned it. Now they're not a force anymore. And he's absolutely right. And he is a big part of the reason. And I get a lot of pushback from my readers who don't understand. I've been trying to explain this for years. You know, they see Trump, and he's like, oh, you know, I love Israel, and he looks like he's buddy-buddy with Netanyahu, and then you have his daughter married to Jared Kushner. And it was like, oh, he's another Israeli puppet. But not at all. He has outmaneuvered the Zionists completely. And he did it by blowing kisses at them the whole time and praising Israel and showing off his Jewish grandchildren and all that. Meanwhile, when it came to actual policy, Trump and Putin, they have chained the Israeli mad dog in its kennel. And the Middle East is at peace now. The U.S. is out, and Russia and Iran are guaranteeing the peace of the Middle East. You notice how quiet the Middle East has been?
Mm-hmm.
Right? ISIS gone. Now, why is ISIS gone? Two reasons. On the ground, the Russians bombed the hell out of them. Okay? But even more significantly, and I've got articles, this is in the New York Times, Washington Post, you know, kind of quiet, but it is real. Trump cut off CIA funding of the so-called moderate rebels. Now, there is no moderate rebels. The fake news tried to present it like you got the terrorists of ISIS in Syria, but then you got the moderate rebels who want to overthrow Syria. They're good. It was all the same. The money was funding ISIS. Trump cut off their money. So their weapons and their supply and their money, they're all mercenaries, these ISIS thugs. They're CIA Mossad mercenaries. But it was Trump who cut them off. And then Putin bombed them. ISIS went away. There are all these different countries. Now we don't hear anything about them. And that was one of Israel's major weapons that they would use to destabilize a target country. Mossad, CIA, you activate ISIS to create havoc in a country. They're gone. The Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, that pedophile sex island, that was a honey trap blackmail operation, totally, for Israel. Mossad, okay? Nobody could touch Epstein all these years, Epstein, Maxwell. It was the Trump Justice Department that finally shut it down, put him out of business, and put him on trial. That island no longer exists. Epstein's out of business. That was a major weapon for Mossad, okay? The neocons, who are the Israel firsters that control the Republican Party, Trump put them out of business. They all turned into Never Trumpers, and they all supported Hillary. And everybody hates them now. Nobody follows them anymore. They have no influence at all within the Republican Party anymore.
Yeah, William Kristol endorsed McAuliffe. So
But you know what? Nobody listens to them anymore. Yeah. You know? So this is what Trump has done. He's taken away Israel's weapons. All the while he's doing this, all the while he's maneuvering against them, he's talking about how much he loves Israel. And that's critical because, you know, that's how you have to do it. Because if you make the strategic error of a frontal assault, you know, like Israel no good, the Jews this, Jews that, the normies can't accept that. I mean, you would unify all the Jews against you, okay, number one. Then you get all those some of these evangelical Christian Zionists who worship Israel, you get all them against you. That's not the way to do it. If you watch The Godfather, how they operate, okay, when the mafia families go at each other, it's, you know, they go to each other's weddings or baptisms and pay respects to each other and funerals, this and that, and then the whole while they're plotting against each other. That's how you play the game. So he has managed to rip out Israel's testicles. Yeah, at the same time, everybody thinks he loves Israel. I mean, he's not an enemy of Israel. They're not going to wipe Israel off the map. But that dream of BBC and Yahoo and his gang of igniting the whole region in a world war and expanding from the Nile River to the Euphrates or greater Israel, that's dead. That ain't happening. And it was Trump and Putin put a stop to that. So that's how Trump, everything Trump and the White Hats do, it's strategic. And people make fun. They say, oh, he's playing 5D chess again. When do we see results? Now, everything has to be done strategically, because you have to respect the awesome power of your adversary, and more so your adversary's control over the mind of the sheep, the normies. Okay, so this is a long process, but everything is, well, yeah, is moving in the right direction.
Yeah, you have a couple articles on your website, one talking about, you know, how the global elite are able to sort of predict the future and shape events, and also how they get control over the people's minds, which is key. Psychological warfare is key to winning these things. And you talk about not only the influence of advertising, Edda Bernays, and also Hollywood, and how they shaped. In fact, they admit it. I mean, there's books to the effect bragging about the Jewish control of Hollywood, how it formed the American identity in the 20th century. Empire of Their Own, you know, as a book of that title. And you have a couple articles about that, like obviously controlling entertainment, media, these things, shaping people's perception of reality is key to this. And people become so brainwashed after decades and decades of propaganda that they can't think, yeah, they can't handle a direct assault or a direct, say, I guess, exposure of these things.
No, they can't. They literally cannot. You'll fry their brains. So it has to be a gradual drip, drip. And we're seeing that now. There's no question we're seeing that now with the growing frustration with the inflation, with the vaccine mandates, okay, with the critical race theory. And now you've got some of the corruption that's gradually going to be exposed. It's going to be like more and more. And then you bring the people out gradually. And this is a lot of people didn't understand. And I saw it from very early on. Now, you remember during the 2016 campaign, you know, Trump said he was going to lock up Hillary Clinton. He said in a debate, you'll be in jail when I get in there. Okay. And at his rallies, people would chant, lock her up. Okay. Then he won the election and he goes on 60 Minutes and they're asking him about it. And what does he say? He says, you know, the Clintons are good people. I don't want to hurt them. And, you know, some of the people on our side went nuts. They're like, oh, look at that. He's already, he sold us out. He's not going to do nothing. Hillary's going to get away with it and not be investigated, this, that, the other thing. Like, hold on a second. Back up. What do you want him to say? He's got no power, first of all. When he steps in, his own party is against him. The media is against him. You know, they're trashing him every day. And you want them to go in on day one and say, okay, we're going to lock up Hillary. I mean, are you crazy? You know what backlash that would trigger, how bad that would look? It would say, they would cream him. They'd say he's a dictator. Look what he's doing, blah, 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 blah. Now, the way you do it is exactly how you did it. Suck them in. He let them do their Russia collusion hoax. He let them do it completely, okay? He let it play out for months and months and even years. And you got Durham in there, the special prosecutor. Little by little, this is going to come out. It will come out. And I do believe Hillary will end up in jail. But when it happens now, people will understand why. Okay? And nobody, Trump's out of the picture for almost a year now. Okay? Nobody can say anything.
Yeah, I found it interesting that Trump's out of power since January, and he's still a key figure in Saturday Night Live comedy sketches.
Well, they're afraid of him.
Yeah.
They're afraid of him. See, yeah. They know he still has power. Okay? But, you know, the public can't perceive that because he's been out of office for a year. So now as all of this stuff comes out, nobody's going to – when Durham comes out, you know, with this stuff, he's already doing it now, people are going to listen. And anyone who attempts to say this is, you know, politically motivated, they're the ones who will look crazy. How is it politically motivated? Durham, this is, he's working under the auspices of the Biden Justice Department now, okay? And it's interesting that Biden didn't fire him, and doesn't fire him. He can't. I believe Biden is under control. I believe this whole thing is under control of the White Hats. Durham is untouchable. So, so that's that. It had to be this way. If Trump remained, if Trump was in the White House now, anything that Durham did would be linked to Trump. And to add to the illusion, I loved it, and I knew exactly what was going on. And when, you know, Trump was still in office like a year ago, he's saying, you know, this Durham, he's good for nothing. What is he doing? You know, who is this guy? And that's all part of the illusion. He's distancing himself from Durham. But he knew that Durham couldn't do anything while Trump was still in office. So everything had to be done, you know, this way. But it takes time. You know, people thought, oh, you could just go in day one and start locking people up. I mean, no. I mean, he didn't even have control of his party.
No, I mean, yeah, he was clearly isolated. And again, a president, you know, the power of the presidency is largely ceremonial. So if you don't have the institutional support, you know. But what do you make of the, I mean, you've written a lot on your website about the whole covert operation. This thing evidently, at least the evidence suggests, it was long in the planning, and that, you know, it was tabletop exercise. It was written about in various white papers from the Rockefeller Foundation. You had this whole, looked like it was all coordinated with the World Health Organization, the Davos set, you know, Gates. And you actually have a piece on Klaus Schwab. And what does that represent? And you know, it appears that the whole thing was sort of, well, one of the objectives of the pandemic, or the, you know, the pseudo pandemic or the scamdemic, was to sort of nudge Trump out of the way. And so, how does that factor into all this? This cabal was able to shut down 190 economies.
Right. Well, here's what they had this this play in mind to, you know, accomplish all the objectives you just listed there, destroy the world economy, bring people to their knees, force the Great Reset, have a pretext for phony mail-in ballots to get rid of Trump, and ultimately perhaps even put out like a real killer virus, okay? Not this phony cold that everyone's so concerned about. And then beyond that, a vaccine that could have been even more deadly, and perhaps contain microchips. That was the big plan, okay? And there was no stopping it because all the groundwork was laid years in advance. What happened was, again, Trump and a white hat, they know the playbook from the NSA. They monitor all the phone calls. They know exactly what's coming. So it's sort of like a football team, and you've got the opposition's playbook, and you know exactly what play's coming. Okay, what do? You don't announce to the opposing team, hey, we know what you're doing. You're going to, you know, throw it to the halfback and he's going to do an option. No. Just go along with it. And then you structure your defensive response accordingly for a devastating response. So they let them do their scam. Okay, they had to. There was no way to stop it. That's why Trump, you know, initially he said, oh, this is a hoax. But then he went along with it and he put Dr. Fauci and all those criminals front and center. So he took the blow. He had to. But the counterplay was this. One, they took control of the vaccine process. And the vaccine that they put out there, I believe every flu shot is going to have an adverse effect on a certain percentage of people. That's why I never take it anyway. However, this is not the genocide flu shot. There's over 100 million Americans have taken it. You know, I'm sure there's been some side effects and deaths, just like there is with any flu shot. But this was not, I believe they really wanted a poisonous, deadly vaccine that would just, you would see people drop in industries like flies. But they took control of that. More importantly, he got it out quick. He talked about this Operation Warp Speed. That was important. Because their plan was to delay this vaccine, which everyone's begging for and they believe that they needed, they would have delayed it 2, 3, 4 years and kept these lockdowns in place forever because they really wanted to crush the economy.
Mm-hmm.
So by coming out with this magic vaccine, Trump now gave the pretext for reopening much of the economy, which would not have happened. And that was critical. We had to get this economy reopened. They were killing us, you know? So that's how the vaccine issue was played. As far as the mail-in ballots and the fraud, they knew that was coming. They let them do it, and I believe they were taking notes the whole time, and they're gonna nail them on that. So they let them do every element of their plan, and they monitored it. And in time, this might be further down the road. Right now, we have to concentrate on the Durham indictments. That's a start. But once those dominoes start, I believe all of these scandals could be exposed. And my hope and my prayer is that ultimately Trump will keep his promise. And this is something he actually said a couple times before. He says, when I get in there, we're going to find out who really took down those buildings in New York. That's an exact quote. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Well, I remember on the on September 11th, that very day, he gave an interview. He said, you know, those buildings couldn't come down because of airline fuel, you know, jet fuel.
Yes. He did two interviews that day or the day after, and they're still online somewhere. He says there's no way those buildings could come down. But he also, as a presidential candidate, he was at a couple of functions and this topic came up, and he says, you're gonna find out who took those buildings down. It was very cryptic. And on another occasion he's been interviewed by George Stephanopoulos. Yeah, this is on film. And he said, George, we went to war with Iraq. Saddam Hussein had nothing with knocking down those buildings. I think you know who did 9/11. And he says, we know who did 9/11. I think you know too, George. Okay? So this is something that he knows. Come on. He's a builder. He has basic knowledge of engineering and stuff. He knows what a joke the official story is. And that's where we ultimately have to go, but we're a long way from that because you have to start with the baby steps. But I definitely think something like the arrest of Hillary Clinton would be such a psychological shock to the normies. And it's like that first breach of the castle wall, okay? It's like back in the days when you attacked the castle, you wanted that one crack and then you put all your soldiers through there. So that's what we need. People to be in a mindset of, oh my God, these people did this. What else did they do? And then they're ready,
Yeah.
That's where the journey ends. Trump to me is a man of his word. And he said several times, we're going to find out who took down those buildings. Of course, I already know. You already know, but the key is to get the public to know.
Well, and obviously, it was Al-Qaeda, wasn't it? So.
Yeah.
Just like it was Lee Harvey Oswald who killed John F. Kennedy, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting. There's a quote today by the Pfizer CEO, Albert Bourla. Yesterday, he called the people who circulate COVID vaccine misinformation criminals. In a wide-ranging interview with the Atlantic Council, an international affairs think tank, Bourla slammed a very small number of professionals who circulate on purpose misinformation that they will mislead those that have concerns. Those people are criminals. They're not bad people. They're criminal. They're criminals because they've literally cost millions of lives, Bourla said. I guess some might call that projection. Of course, I think Pfizer has paid out more than $2 billion in criminal fines over the years. So.
Yeah, he does something.
So that's irony there, huh? Chutzpah, I think might be.
There's something else is coming up a month from now. Actually, the end of December, they are they're changing the way that COVID is diagnosed. The way it's done now, you have these fake tests.
Yes.
Which amplify this fake whatever it is, these remnants of some old cold or something, and
yes,
they amplify 30, 40, 50 times. But they're going to dial that down. And that's the CBC. And so, you know, again, this seems like another element of the good guys controlling things. Because once that's changed, all this disappears. And what we really need to get to is something like what Italy just did. Their health department just clarified the number of fatalities.
Yeah, 90% or something gone.
They essentially cut it by like 90-something percent.
Yeah.
And they are saying these people had other issues and they died with COVID, but not of COVID.
Yeah, that's the same thing here in the States, roughly. Yeah.
Right. Well, now we've known that all along, of course, but for a government entity to say that, that's huge. And we need to get that here. And that'll be a big wake-up call if people start to figure out we've been played.
Yeah.
Know?
Well, it was largely, what they call a case demic. And the cases where people are testing positive results from a test, which its creator, Kerry Mulis, said, it's not reliable. It's not supposed to be used for diagnostics. And again,
it's not for that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a tool for research.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have enough genetic material of something, you can amplify it, get more of it, and just to study it. But it's not meant to diagnose something, because he says we've got a little bit of everything in our bodies. So you could take something if you want
yes.
to keep amplifying it, you'll find anything in your body. But that's exactly what they're doing. And it's convenient. He died just before the COVID scam broke,
mm-hmm.
months before, so-called pneumonia. Because if he was alive today, he was a very outspoken man, brilliant man. And he'd be screaming from the rooftops. He hated Dr. Fauci. But, he's not around to say, hey, listen, I got the Nobel Prize for inventing the PCR technique. Listen to me. This is not for diagnosis. This is a fraud. How huge would that be? But he's gone. They had to get him out of the way.
Yeah,
And I believe they killed him. They definitely killed him. Yeah.
And Fauci recently,
they killed him.
Who was treated with kid gloves, or at least put up on a pedestal by the media, there are, at least in my area, there are signs, like Fauci was running for office or something instead of being a lifetime bureaucrat. But he recently, obviously it came out with NIH funding those dog tests, with flies in Africa.
Right,
and now there's people are starting to learn the history of Fauci. I think Robert F. Kennedy Jr. wrote a book exposing a lot about, his experimenting on children using the AIDS crisis as a pretext. He killed a lot of children.
He's a little monster. He's a little monster. But again, this is a positive development that the three, I call them the three saints of stupid 19 scandemic, Fauci, Gates, and Andrew Cuomo. At the height of this thing, these guys were exalted.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Yes.
Now Fauci's in the doghouse. Gates,
doghouse.
They linked him. He's in a doghouse. They've linked him to the pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, and his wife left him apparently because of that, or so they say. And then you have Cuomo now, who was forced out of office for being a sexual predator.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't that interesting? And it's not by accident. These guys are being taken down, I tell you.
One thing it was,
Alec Baldwin there, another one, Trump's nemesis who did those horrible, hateful impersonations on Saturday Night Live, and now you have this bizarre shooting thing.
Yeah, the rest of
the site. I don't know what the hell that's about.
It is strange.
But one by one, Trump's enemies are falling, and they're going to continue to fall.
Yeah, one thing that always struck me is strange is we were told to follow the science, follow the experts, but we were being lectured to by Bill Gates, a college dropout. About the particulars, how the world should respond to this pandemic. It's one of the realities of technocracy. It's one thing I think they're trying to impose, sort of a technocratic state, doing away with currency, collapse the currency, bring in digital, central bank digital currencies, collapse the economy, so all beg for it under this reset thing. By 2030, we'll own nothing and we'll love it. That's their agenda. They control everything. But is the idea that were run by experts, like these technocrats, scientists. Science is a new religion, sort of thing. But at the end of the day, it's the scientists are just shills for these, malevolent oligarchs like Gates, so who probably,
Yeah, they're fake. They're fake scientists, you know.
Yeah.
They say follow the science, but then when you invoke the name of an actual inventor and a leader in his field, like Carrie Mullis, that kind of science we don't want to follow. You know, so it's follow the selected sciences. But they've corrupted science just like they corrupted history or economics.
Like any discipline, it can be bought out, which they did, which the Rockefellers and their their fellow billionaire Bulgars bought out, in the last century. That was what thing that was exposed in the during the
Oh yeah.
in the 50s, in the investigation of the great foundations.
That's right. The foundations, the universities, the great so-called philanthropists. They're so generous. I mean, they don't do anything for the truly poor and needy. Now they'll give money to a university, and everyone says, "Oh, that's wonderful." Yeah, but he just bought the curriculum. That's what he did.
Yeah, they'll endow a chair and control the education. That's what the General Education Board was about. They took over medicine, in the early part of the 20th century. It's like I was listening to the history of
that
the
is,
of the Sloan Kettering Clinic, and its origins are chemical warfare. And the guy who did start went to started it, or at least went to work for it in the 50s, was experimenting on Puerto Ricans in the 40s. So it, it just gets you, of course, in what's been exposed about Fauci and the tests that his career testing on people, whether it's AZT trials or the experimenting on foster kids that don't have any parents to protect them, is that these are the this is the moral outlook or view worldview of these people that are supposedly are determining public health in this country. It's a sobering reality. You're right, you have to wake the normies up to this.
Little by little, but all of the Trump is known to be a big fan of Sun Tzu, the Chinese warrior philosopher who wrote The Art of War. And I mean, this is the essence of Sun Tzu. It's subdue the enemy without fighting. Slowly, slowly penetrate and surround him. And then when you're in that position, boom, you hit so hard he doesn't know what the hell hit him. But it takes some time to get to that. And when you consider 5 years, what Trump and the military intelligence force that is behind them, what they've been able to achieve, it truly is amazing. I mean, just go back 5 years. Where were we 5 years ago? Okay, we're on the precipice of that monster, that communist monster, Hillary Clinton, becoming a grand exalted president of the United States. Okay, who's gonna stop her, oppose her? Paul Ryan in the Congress, I mean, it was a Republican Party that belonged to Ryan and McCain. Hillary is on the precipice of becoming president. We were already on the brink of war with Russia, the North Korea-South Korea situation, which would have dragged us to war with China. Syria is blowing up. Hillary is promising to put up a no-fly zone, which means we're going to shoot down Russian jets that are attacking the ISIS terrorists. How is that going to end? So the world was blowing up. But can you imagine if they launched the COVID-19 with Hillary as president? I mean, it would have been hell on earth, and she would have been in her second term by now. And the power would have been so entrenched, she would have never got rid of it. It's just unimaginable, the projection of where this country was going. And then you look here now, and still there's some people on our side who say, "Oh, Trump, he didn't do nothing. He sold us out." I mean, they just don't know. But instead of being two-term president who would strike the final death blow against America, she is now, I do believe, on her way to prison. She might even be locked up already, to tell you the truth. and they just replaced them with body doubles. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. There's a whole other story there. A lot of strange things happening. A lot of Hollywood stars who suddenly don't look like they used to. I happen to have personal knowledge of a big Hollywood star who a close friend of this person has not been able to contact them in over a year. Okay. And they're freaking out. It's like, I talked to him every month for the last 20 years and I cannot contact. There's a lot of strange stuff going on for the good. It's like a secret war being fought in the intelligence world between the good guys and the bad guys, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And we're only just now beginning to see to see it gradually under controlled conditions be presented to the public with these Durham indictments. Is it, the Durham indictment, the recent one, is big. It's really big. Actually, the last two are big. You know, people don't realize how this really puts Hillary in the crosshairs. And I'm telling you, if that bitch gets indicted, I mean, what a shock. That's the kind of shock that the normies need to say, whoa, you know, and then you can follow up with the other stuff without having to worry about that cognitive dissonance and that whole, nah, this isn't real. This is Trump being a dictator stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're in a good position, and it just takes time. Yeah, let's see where the next shoe is to fall.
Well, you know, a crisis is a moment of opportunity, and I don't mean that cynically. Meaning that the fact that the global elite, the establishment, I think, sort of took a great leap forward with the whole COVID scam, and this sort of this huge power grab, and the exposure of all the corruption in the system, has wakened stirred a lot of people. And where they consider, what's possible politically would have been possible a few years ago, if people were still, the illusion. So there is an opportunity here. One thing, one of the positive benefit is sort of the reassertion of states and challenging an illegitimate federal government, which I think is a good thing at the final analysis. Where the states, these governors are stepping up. It's not perfect. But what in this world is, I mean, obviously you're right. You can't really directly assault the Zionist power structure, the Jewish power structure, because it's so pervasive. It's been sort of building up for decades and sort of become ascendant. But in their ascendancy, they hurt themselves. A good example was the open conflict with Tucker Carlson a few months ago, when they need not, the ADL need not get involved in that. And they did. And they had to take a loss on that. Maybe they're still scheming against them. They're still trying to get them fired. But that was an example of them sort of showing their hand. And they don't do well when they expose themselves.
You're absolutely right. You know, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, the ADL was another sainted organization. If you dare to speak ill of them, you're finished. Okay? And now, look at this climate now. We can criticize the ADL. You criticize the Israel lobby. I mean, things are changing.
Mm-hmm.
We talked earlier about Fauci, Cuomo, and Gates, all these sainted individuals, you know, Epstein, who for years was untouchable, Harvey Weinstein, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is all connected. So the high and mighty are taking big hits.
That's right. Even the NXIVM cult, which ties directly to the Brofmans. You know, you had a Brofman, I think.
That's right. That's another
indicted
sex blackmail
cult.
Yeah. The Bronfmans, you know how huge the Bronfmans are? I mean, Papa Bronfman was the head of the International Jewish Congress.
Mm-hmm.
So these people are being taken out, but it's being done in a way of, you know, they're just criminals who happen to be Jewish, instead of, hey, we got to get rid of these Jews, you know? Mm-hmm. Because that doesn't go over well, and nor is that fair, because, you know, not all of them are a part of this thing. They manipulate their own people, too. The worst tactical error. I run a website. I can speak my mind, okay? But when you're operating at high political levels, you have to respect the power of your adversary. And the worst possible thing you can do is set yourself up to seem like a quote-unquote anti-Semite, a quote-unquote, you know, Nazi. So Trump has just played it brilliantly. You know, he's not waging war on the Jews, but he's targeting these globalists and these Bolsheviks and these fake news and these Hollywood types who are many of them disproportionately Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
But he's taking them out, and the whole while he's doing it, he's blowing kisses at the Jewish people, and he looks clean. And that's the way you do it. And, you know, it's just a masterstroke. They cannot stick the anti-Semitic label on him. It's not going to stick. It's not going to work on him, you see? Because that is the kiss of death. Because the Trump campaign is not unlike that of Pat Buchanan of 20 years ago or 25 years ago, if you recall, okay? Problem was, Buchanan, being a journalist, he had a paper trail. They were able to successfully tag him as an anti-Semite, and that was the kiss of death for him, mm-hmm. right? So the trick is to surgically remove the elite Jewish mobsters and all their henchmen, okay? But not to do it in such a way that it seems like, you know, something ethnically or racially based. You know, you're just going after criminals. Jews or non-Jews, okay? And if a disproportionate amount of the big shots, you know, are Jews, so be it. But they're not going to tag Trump as an anti-Semite. And boy, have they tried, but it didn't work. And that's really got to be frustrating, you know, to them.
Yeah, this is what you lay out here is unusually optimistic, which may upset a lot of my listeners. Because they're used to doom and gloom.
There's too much pessimism on our side. Yeah, I know. But you know what? Some people say, and I get this from my own readers, they say, oh, Mike, you're peddling hopium is the word. I'm like, no, there's such a thing as pessimopium, too. You just got to acknowledge what's happening. It's undeniable that the rhino establishment, the Bush Rockefeller clan, they do not control the Republican Party. The big movers now in the Republican Party are people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, and Jim Jordan, and Rand Paul. These are the guys who are front and center. Okay, these are the people who were once marginalized the Republican Party. We've captured the Republican Party, and the Democrats are taking major hits. For a state like New Jersey, my home state here, the idea that they needed, fake ballots after midnight for an incumbent governor to win, I mean, that's such a shocker. In many ways, that's much bigger than what happened in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And of course, unseated the head of the Senate. Yeah,
the president of the Senate. I mean,
he spent $150 in his campaign. He spent $150 on his campaign.
Yeah,
from what I understand, he won.
I'm telling you, once this thing starts to get closer to Hillary, the pessimists are gonna come around, because you know that was the original thing that began to turn people against Trump on our side, because he gave out all indications that, you know, I mean, that's what he said on 60 Minutes. So the Clintons are good people. I'm not going to hurt them. And people on our side went nuts. But it's, you have to say that. Let's see what happens. And I'm telling you, I'm willing to bet money on this, that Durham is going to end up putting Hillary in jail. And I can't put a timetable. That's where we run into trouble. And I've made this mistake myself. Is I'm saying, you know, within 3 months or next month, next week, this and that, there is no timetable. Just let it play out. So I'm not going to give a timetable, but I am willing to bet money that Hillary Clinton's going to jail. Hmm. And once that happens, then, you know, nobody can say I'm peddling hopium. And the indicators are that way. And in fact, Trump himself just the other day put out a statement. He said, well, no. It looks like this Durham guy may be worthwhile after all. I think this is going to be the first of many more to come. Trump said that. Mm-hmm. He knows. You know? So let's wait and see.
Okay.
The indicators are undeniable.
Well, again, yeah, you said this is a, like I said, it's hard to people expect results, and they expect it to be overt and out in the open. And I guess the sort of like behind the scenes political warfare is going to be, be reported on CNN or even Fox News for that matter. It's just, and it's hard to often see it, when you're in the middle of it and it's going on. But yeah, there are some indications. And like I said, the whole exposure of the how rotten the system is I think woken a lot of people up, and they so it's broken the illusion, right? Broken out of their dreams, and so now they can deal with the reality. And it's interesting to see how the
Because I
electoral
tell you what,
politics will play out.
one thing you can't hide, one thing that you can't hide, Tim, is inflation. Okay? And it's bad. I see it in the supermarket. I mean, pretty soon hamburger is going to become a luxury item. I think, today's ground beef is like yesterday's porterhouse steak price-wise. It's insane. And it's going to continue. And it's going to be a bad winter. The oil prices are going through the roof. The American people are going to feel this pain. You hate to think, well, let's hurt people so they wake up. But
Well, it'd be
I mean,
nice if you could,
the hurt was coming anyway. You know what I mean? It was coming anyway. If we could tough it out and emerge to the other side. I mean, this is how things changed in Germany. They went through all that economic devastation, and people helped finally woke up. Well, my point of view that the whole World War II was a lie, and that Hitler, far from destroying Germany, saved Germany. He was fighting the very same globalists. This is why he's the most vilified man in history. And the book that got me into trouble was my best seller. I had 300 positive reviews on Amazon at one time for The Bad War, and they banned it from Amazon because it told the truth. But you can still get it at realhistorychan.com. But the point is, that's what it took to wake the German people up and finally crush these Marxists and globalists. And they liberated Germany, and that's what the World War II was all about, was about the globalists getting it back onto the slave plantation. So if there, I mean, there's going to be economic hardship one way or the other. But we look at the silver lining that's going to wake even more people up and start asking what the hell's going on here.
That's right. As long as they got their beer and their chips, and their 401k plan is fat, they're not going to question it. It's unfortunate that it takes a crisis and suffering to wake people up. That just seems to be how these things work out. Hope it doesn't get too bad. Before it gets better. But I think, yeah, I do think that a lot of what we're dealing with is was there was a plan to collapse the economy. You saw it with the talk
Yeah,
of the
no
Great
question.
Reset, and I still see you still
That's
see
what the
signs of
great, the
it.
great, and the great reset. This Klaus Schwab, this demon, who for 50 years has been running this World Economic Forum. He was in his early 30s. Now he's in his 80s. 50 years. He even wrote a book connecting the COVID and the Great Reset, and that this gives us opportunities. Pretending like it's something accidental that just arose, but you know what? It causes an opportunity. Of course, it was all one big plan, But that was the plan, to crush us with this thing. But Trump hijacked it, okay? And he put the vaccine out that the normies were begging for. The economy is, I mean, it's not doing well, but they wanted us locked down indefinitely. We would still be getting welfare checks if it was up to them, That's what they wanted. They wanted it to go on for 2, 3, 4 years, bring people to their knees, kill as many people as possible, get people to a point they're so demoralized they'll say, okay, give us the whatever, give us relief, give us the great reset. Just like it's spelled out in the Protocols of Zion, 120 years ago. It says, we will crush the economy, and the people will beg us, and they will exalt us, as saviors. That's what they wanted, okay? It's still going to be rough, but they did not get the ultimate global destruction that they were aiming at. That's a fact. This instead, they now have an anti-vax rebellion that's growing, and it's growing, 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 and it's going to get worse.
And have other political, you know, I think, other political ramifications beyond just the vaccine, I think, because it's the legitimacy of the entire system that's now being brought into question by a wide cross section of the public, the normal people, if you will, the normies that are now open to some of these things.
Right.
You know, I had someone say that the other day, a family member, he said, "It used to be I would dismiss these conspiracy theories. Now, when I hear conspiracy theory, I say, yeah, that's feasible. I believe anything's possible now." And this is someone who, you know.
Well, that's absolutely. You know. And this Russia thing is a big one because, you know, we were bombarded with that for 2-3 years that, you know, Trump was Putin's agent and they were blackmailing and this, that. And now it's not merely coming out that, you know, the allegations aren't provable. It's that it was concocted. So this is going to get people to think. But again, the big one, if Hillary goes down, then the term conspiracy theory will no longer be applicable to anything. You understand? Because you get to a certain point where even a normie is going to reason to himself, well, gee, what else were we lied to about?
Well, Epstein was a conspiracy theory, right? Wasn't Epstein a conspiracy theory? Remember?
Oh, Epstein was huge.
Remember
And they knew the guy was a pedo for years. No, they couldn't touch him.
But then he dies in prison. He dies in prison, and everyone's like, "Oh, yeah, he was murdered."
Well, yeah.
I mean, but my point is, some people say he wasn't.
I don't think he was murdered. I think he was in custody and singing like a bird.
Yeah, but what strikes me as strange is that some people would accept the fact that he'd be murdered in prison. Right?
Yeah.
Remember the official narrative is he committed suicide. My point is that everyone, no one believes that he committed suicide. Let's put it at that. So what does that say?
That's right. Nobody believes that, right?
Yeah. I mean, so.
So, and you know what? They played that card so many times now. It's just like the racism card, the conspiracy theory card. You start developing immunities to it. It's definitely not as effective as it used to be. And more people, are going to start asking questions. It's a slow process, it's a gradual process, but it's in motion. And this is, you know, the people who want results, things overnight. You know, I think some people on our side, because we're so awake and so second nature to us, we tend to forget or take for granted just how bad these people are mind raped. And I fall into this trap sometimes myself where, you know, I'll be online and I see all these people waking up and read my emails. I'm like, wow, man, people waking up. And then I'll go to the local store and, girl, they'll be, oh, hey, Mike, did you get your vaccine? And I'm like, oh, my God.
Be safe.
And I realize how much work we have to do.
Yeah.
People in my own family, you know what I mean? It's bad. These people have been mind raped for years. That's why we can't have overnight results. You'll have such a shock to the system. You can even trigger something like a civil war. Now, this is the way to do it.
Very interesting. Strong. Yeah. So, okay. So, your website, therealhistorychannel.com.
The name, but the address is realhistorychan.
Okay.
CHAN.
And
.com.
You've a lot of books there you can get, right?
Well, there's a section. You'll see the tabs at the top. It says banned books. I at one time had 24 books at Amazon and Kindle, and they holocausted me because my books tell the truth. And they're very powerful books. They're unique. Nobody really – I've got a style all my own. My writing is very clear and concise. It's not verbose. It gets to the point. It's boom, boom, boom. And all of my books have hundreds of illustrations with captions because I believe that, you know, pictures worth 1,000 words, and these images are powerful. They enhance the understanding. And what I love to do is I go back to old newspaper articles. I have access to the archives at the New York Slimes going back to 1900. And I find gems in there, and I reproduce them as images to kind of use their own news against them. Because surprisingly, even though it always had a slant to it, you go start going back 50, 60, 70 years, you find a lot of good objective stuff in the New York Times, because the public wasn't quite as brainwashed, so they had to put out some truth.
Now it's cartoonish almost. Yeah.
So the images are just phenomenal. And but here's the thing. I still offer the books as paperbacks. People can get them through the site. Or you can get the whole shebang as PDFs for just $29. That's a real steal.
And all the books are $29? You get all the books for $29 on PDF.
Why not? PDF format.
That's pretty good.
It's like $1 a book. And some of these books are 300 pages. Some are 200. Some are 100 pages. But they're all mind-blowing. I got The Bad War, The True Story of World War II.
Uh-huh.
I got St. Joseph of Wisconsin, which I'd like to give a plug to now, because Joe McCarthy's birthday is coming up this Saturday. And this is the real story of Joseph McCarthy, an American hero who had these communists figured out. And, you know, anyone who thinks he was like slandering innocent people, they need to read this book. I got a book on Andrew Jackson. I got 2-volume book, Planet Rothschild. Okay. I go back to 1770s, and it's just one event after another in chronological order. And you see the direct thread linking all the historical events of the New World Order. That's how long it's been going.
Yeah.
And you put it all together, and it's just amazing. It's just an overview of 250 years, because the Rothschild family, they started their dirty business in the 1790s.
Oh, yeah. And then, I guess there was Churchill that was named Man of the Century. And, of course, he was in hock to the Rothschilds. So that explains the 20th century.
Oh, yeah.
But that's an interesting story there with the Churchill family.
Well, I have a book on Churchill called The British Mad Dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I really tear him down to size. I mean, what a degenerate, lowlife, alcoholic, cigar-chomping, warmongering scumbag. I mean, cannot exaggerate the depth of the man's degeneracy and evil and deceit. And to think he's one of the heroes of the 20th century, but that's a good one.
There was a story last summer during all the Black Lives Matter nonsense, craziness, that it was spread to England, and someone had defaced a Churchill statue, and I was ambivalent about it, but they were doing it for all the wrong reasons.
Well, right. They were doing it for the wrong reasons, because I guess he was quote-unquote racist, but I mean, he did murder like a million or so Indians. He caused a deliberate famine. I mean,
that was as cold as anything Stalin did in the Ukraine. Yeah.
I got books on the Roosevelts. I don't like Ike, Dwight D. Eisenhower, total fraud. I mean, on and on. But check it out, realhistorychan.com.
Great. That's So
realhistorychan.com. Definitely get the free report. People got to get the free report. Sign up for the free report.
Okay, it's great. Well, that's Mike King. Thank you for coming on. I'll post this soon. When I do, I'll send you the link.
Okay, appreciate that.
And, I guess have a happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you do the same. Happy Thanksgiving.
And I'll go through the books. Maybe we'll have you back on. And we can talk about, maybe get more specific, maybe one of these books or something.
Yeah, I mean, World War II is always a good topic, because that really, once you truly understand that, it makes the present day a lot more understandable, because it's such a misunderstood event.
Yeah, the founding myth of the sort of the modern, I guess, geopolitical order is that conflict. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, that's that's their holy war, World War II.
So, okay, well, I'll let you go. I said I had you on for an hour. I'm cheating. I'm over. We're at 1:17.
A little more. Oh, that's okay. That's good. All right, Tim. Thanks for your time this evening.
A good night, then. Thanks. Take care.
I saw the railway master and I looked him in the eye. Said, would you go much faster? You thought that you would die. He said, not me, sir, I could not care. In fact, I would not try. for protest would not take me far. It's different me not being a star. I lock my feelings in a jar until another day. Oh, comfort me, dear brother, won't you tell me what you know? For somewhere in this painful world is a place where I can go. Oh, long-awaited mother, is it time to make a show? And take your babies to your breast. You know we never passed the test. All our sins should be confessed before we carry on. Different me not being a star. I lock my feelings in a jar until they go away.